Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Same as weird. Okay, ready? Here we go. Buddy.
Do you remember when you were 22?
Yeah, 22 is my favorite age I've ever been.
Well, then you'll have a lot in common with our next guest.
Tom Lucy.
Yeah, Tom Lucy. He's not here right now.
Yeah, but we've already recorded it, so we know what happens in it. I already know that I know what he's like.
Yeah, but we could have pretended like we didn't.
Oh.
It would have been like we were predicting the future.
Oh, shit. Okay, I get it. So our listeners wouldn't actually... Oh, I get what we were doing there. So we were... Oh, I quite like that. Okay, let's pretend we haven't done it yet.
But now, you know, anyway, let's just not pretend that now because you've ruined it. But he's the Sun Best New Comedian 2017, last year.
Yeah, he started being a comedian when he was 16 years old.
But just because it was last year doesn't mean he's last year. He's actually the future. He's only 22.
But also, having just done the podcast, you know, our podcast is very funny. A lot of the time we do walk away from it laughing, right? But this time, and I kid you not, this is one of the times where I've walked away from it. Well, we haven't walked away.
Still
we're still here. But I mean, when he left the room, I was freaking laughing.
Do you know what? He also has something in common with us.
Wears a pinky ring?
Well, yeah, that. But another thing.
What?
He actually sold out his show at the Edinburgh Fringe, Needs to Stop Showing Off in Front of His Friends. That was the name of his show. He sold it out. Like, we sold out our show, which we're now taking on tour, sponsored by the live streaming service Now TV.
I like the way you did that. That was kind of going, yeah, it's true, guys. So if you haven't got your tickets to our tour, we're going 22 dates around the country, going all over the place. And as I said, they're selling out fast. It starts at the beginning, end of this month, 28th.
And we're not actually just saying they're selling out fast so that you'll go and buy a ticket. They are actually selling out fast. So if you want to avoid disappointment, do actually go and buy it. And right now, turn the podcast. No, don't turn the podcast off because we've still got the rest of the podcast.
They can multitask, right?
Yeah, I suppose you can buy it on your... But get on your desktop, but keep the podcast going in the background and I'll just walk you through it. You just go to privatepartspodcast.com.
Wait, hold on, they haven't done it yet, so hold on.
Privatepartspodcast.com.
Okay, hold on, they've done it. They've just pressed enter. Okay, you pressed enter.
Yeah,
great.
There's a banner at the top that says buy your tickets now. Buy your ticket.
Wait, hang on, so click on that.
Yeah.
Clicked on it.
And and then it should take you, there's a little funnel into the purchase of the ticket in your local area. Mm. It's at all good theatres.
So go and check it out, 22 dates around the country. And to all of the people who have bought one already, hey guys, thank you so much.
Can't wait to see you.
Can't wait to see you, there's going to be loads of fun things. But for now...
But for enough about us, Tom Lucy, his name is... Tom and his
surname is Lucy. You're about
surname
to say.
Is Lucy.
You were thinking something funny there. Yeah. So it's episode 77. Episode 77 today. Sorry, it's also a little bit late. It's because I just got back from Bali. I'm a little bit jet lagged. Francis was always on the ball as always. We had Tom Lucy on. He's a stand up comedian. He's 22 years old and he's a freaking legend. So, ladies and gentlemen, episode 77 of Private Parts. Enjoy.
Enjoy.
I've just come off a 13-hour flight.
Yeah, you've been telling everyone about that.
No, I haven't been telling everyone about that.
Bragging to random people on the street.
Why would
no
I?
No one cares.
Why would I brag about
it? It was like the fourth thing you said to me.
No, it was not the fourth thing I said to you. Firstly, I didn't
got
say.
Off a flight.
No, I came up to you and introduced myself, and you introduced yourself,
I said the fourth thing.
Yeah, with that. So let me work it out. So I said that to you first, and then I said, "How's your day?" So yeah. I was really polite.
Yeah, you were actually very polite.
And then I made like, what's it called when you make like? So I made small talk. I made pillow talk with you.
Pillow talk? Yeah. Like Zayn Malik.
Yeah. Me and Zayn are very similar.
Pillow talk.
Me and Zayn, both...
He's probably been to Bali as well, hasn't he?
He's been to Bali. Also, he grew up in Leeds. I went to Leeds University.
Did
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
So you're cut from the same cloth, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, we're cut from the same cloth.
How often do you see Zayn?
Oh, Zayno. I see him...
He hates that name. Don't call him Zayno.
You don't know him?
Zaydog.
No, not Zane Dog.
Z Wolf.
Z Wolf.
Yeah, that's what I call him.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Private Parts Podcast. This is where we read the most intimate and sort of details of our lives. Tom Lucy is on today. His name has two names in it. That doesn't mean he's strange. What?
Mm-hmm.
That was
a great introduction. I love that.
Have you ever been introed like that before?
No. I can't. No, I don't think I have. No.
What was your nicknames, Grub? Do you ever have any nicknames or anything like that?
Lucy.
Just Lucy, yeah. Mm. That's pretty obvious, right?
Was that good at school? Oi, Lucy! Like, stop it! Stop it!
Leave me alone. No, not really. That wasn't really an issue, to be honest. Lucy's, you get used to it, really.
But surely, like, when you...
Your dad was in the army, right?
So, yeah, you've done your research.
Well, you know, I come prepared. But so he would have been, what was his rank in the army?
His rank? When he left, he was a major.
So Major Lucy.
Major Lucy, yeah.
Why are you laughing?
I think he probably got it worse. At the army, that can't be fun, can it?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's so funny talking about the army.
He must be pretty tough if his name's Lucy.
He's quite hard, yeah. He'd beat the shit out of you, Francis.
Really? Well, there's
and me. Yeah. And all of us.
I reckon I'd beat him up.
Yeah,
actually,
I don't.
You probably could take my dad, actually.
Why would I be able to beat him up and Francis couldn't?
I don't know.
What? Because we would grapple.
Because you would shout Lucy at him like you just did to me.
And he would go, stop it! Stop it! That's my kryptonite!
Do you know what? I got a really funny story of CCF. I think I told you this before. Did you ever do CCF?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, fine. So to all our listeners...
You had to do it, didn't you?
Well, I think at certain schools, yeah, you would have to do it, but not at
all. What are you trying to say?
No, I'm just saying at certain schools you would do CCF, which I don't know what you ever stand... What did it stand for?
Combined Cadet Force.
Oh, look at you guys.
What rank were you?
I would have been a private, wouldn't I?
Private?
You were in the American CCF.
What?
I don't know. You were a private.
What were you?
I don't know.
I think I was a lieutenant.
Private Lang.
Yeah, that's what I would have been. Reporting for duty.
Private Lang.
No,
I like the name Private Lang.
Yeah, so do I. That's why I said it. But it's true. We used to do CCF, and there were comments. Firstly, I got a very funny story of a friend of mine, a friend of all of yours as well, Spencer Matthews. He did CCF right at school at Eton College.
Yeah.
And they're all lining up, and it's every single time the sergeant major, whoever, and it was always the what they were. There wasn't the sergeant major. It was the.
Oh no! I was a lance corporal.
Are you just going back to the conversation we had 5 minutes ago?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
In the CCF?
Yeah, I think so.
How did you rise that quickly?
You know...
You're like a dictator. Yeah. Who the fuck gets to be Lance Corporal in the CCF? That's insane.
Hey.
But we...
Well done.
But
thanks.
Did you ever see action?
He did a couple of tours.
Did you do a couple of tours?
Yeah, I did a couple of tours of the Brecon Beacons.
But wait, firstly, we should probably
thank you for your service.
Yeah,
yeah, we admire you. But we should probably sell it because the CCF was what it was basically army camp at school, wasn't it? Mm. That's what you'd go. So
young homosexual boys.
yeah. So if you were at boarding school and you gave great head, you could go into CCF.
You become Lance Corporal.
That's how you would win your stripes.
That's how you got
before. Yeah, there's only one way to the top.
It's down.
So anyway,
I love that. Private Lang and Lance Corporal Bull.
Lance Corporal Bull. France is like 16 years old. He's Lance Corporal. Running like a team of like 30 people.
He's in charge of a squadron.
Hey,
people look up to you.
Natural born leader.
Did you get respect from the privates?
People like Private Lang. Didn't get off
that's
easily.
Hilarious. Lance Corporal.
But we had... So anyway, you were called into your duty, whatever it was, and you had to do CCF, which normally, for me, it was always on a Wednesday. When was it for you?
Whenever war started, I was always on... I was always on standby for my duty. At where I went, we didn't stop on a Wednesday, Jamie, were we? 24/7. Always on... Whenever the Lance Corporal wanted us, we were in the quad, lined up.
Good.
But we
trousers
had,
down.
Ready to go. We had like the Sergeant Major, and he was always this. Normally, I feel like Sergeant Majors were always like angry Scottish people. That's what I always sort of remember them as. And Spencer tells me a story when he was at Eton, he was always being told off. So it was like, Matthews, what are you doing? Things like that. And he was like, sir, I'm fine. And he was like, okay, getting cross with him. So Spencer Matthews decided one day to black himself out with shoe polish.
What? What?
he blacked himself out.
He blacked up. That's what he did.
With shoe polish.
Yeah.
And so he stood in line and the sergeant major came and went, Matthews, where are you? And apparently he went up and down the line and didn't recognise him for the entire time.
Amazing.
Until he walked down with, here, sir.
So what, he just, did he not see him, or he just thought, oh, that's just a man?
He just thought that was a black man. I think that's what happened. And then I have a story is when we had
suppose it was Eton College, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, exactly. But then we went to, we had two CCF camps, which we had decided to have one, which was in the Brecon Beacons, and that was like an Easter camp. Mm.
Or we had, you did a tour of the Beacons.
Yeah, I did a tour of the Beacons. Oh.
Am I the only one who didn't do a tour of the Beacons?
It seems like it.
Don't talk about it as well, because, you know, I got...
Does it bring back?
Ooh, yeah, brings back memories. And we had one...
It was raining a lot. It was horrible.
It was terrible. Yeah. And we had to do one... So you chose between doing one in the Brecon Beacons, which was the Easter camp, or in the summer holidays, you could do a two-week one, which was proper army. And I thought, why the fuck?
Proper army.
It was either go to the Brecon Beacons...
Easter holidays at Brecon Beacons, yeah, or summer in Afghanistan. I'd probably choose Brecon Beacons.
Yeah.
I can see why you chose that.
So I did as well. And it was raining the whole time. It was raining the whole time. And we went canoeing. We had to go canoeing. Mm. And it was so cold, my friend started crying because his hands are so cold. We then, my friend, right, he...
friend what?
He had a nut allergy. And we were sitting in our sort of whatever tent together, and we're talking. He's going, God, I was just fucking, I can't do this anymore. Oh God, it's too much of a war.
Horrors of war. Was he writing poetry back to his lover?
Yeah, him and Siegfried Sassoon. He was just like, oh, I can't go out. I was like, get it together, man. I can't go back out. Get it together.
My hands are so cold.
We've got canoeing at 6. I've hired the boats. Fucking hell.
Get it together, Kerr! Get it together! And he was just like, I just can't do this anymore. I can't do it anymore. And I went, what are you going to do? And he went, I'm going to eat a nut. And he had a nut allergy.
He poisoned himself.
Yeah, so he ate.
Like cyanide. Like Hitler.
Like dodging the National Service.
It's like the end of Hitler's
dodging
life,
the draft.
Right?
Yeah.
Hitler took a cyanide pill. Shot his wife and then took a cyanide pill. In the Brecon Beacons.
So he
had to take a cyanide pill because he wasn't allergic to peanuts.
No, he was allergic to peanuts, so he took a peanut.
Oh god.
And I remember him sitting there and I was watching him, and suddenly it was like a movie. He suddenly went like his whole face and neck and went blew up. Yeah. So I had to go, Sergeant, we have a medic.
Get him running out of the stretcher.
Medic. And he had to be helicoptered out of there.
What? Yeah, they helicoptered him out.
Yeah, because he had to die from a nut allergy.
Did you give covering fire for the helicopter?
Just choppered him out. Fucking hell.
Hey, we never leave a man behind. We always get them out of there.
They choppered him out of the Beacons. Did you have to cancel the kayaking?
God, that's like proper war.
No,
it is like proper war.
It was. That's what. And then. We then went to, he was at Dublin University. Mm. And this was obviously after we had toured and we had finished our Brecon Beacons.
You'd served.
And we served
you
our time.
Your badge in.
Yeah, and I went he's at Dublin University, and I went into his room and I opened the door and it's fucking stank. It was like a year into him living there. It was a summer term, so he'd been living there for how many months? And I was like, mate, it smells so bad in your room. Mm. And he was like, yeah, I know, just think. So I went, well, why don't you open the window? And he went, what, there's a window? He hadn't realised there was a window in his bedroom. I was like, are you joking? He hadn't realised he's been living in this hot box for literally like
just
a year.
Glass.
He just thought it was just a room.
That painting moves. Jesus Christ.
So, Tommy,
I thought you were going to say he was having flashbacks to the Beacons. Yeah. He had a bed, but he was sleeping in a tent on the floor.
Me too,
nuts.
That's where it seemed like it was
chopping
going.
Chopping me out.
Medic!
He's got,
it's never
his,
been the
on
same.
On speaker, he's got helicopter noises going.
Oh, my God. Wait, Tom, tell us, dude. So, where did you grow up? Where were you born?
I was from London.
Yeah, it says on the sheet, from London.
I feel rude having
London.
A sheet with all these, like, I haven't done my research, but I have.
Oh, yeah, Francis doesn't need it.
No, I don't need it.
London.
You grew up in London?
Yeah, but we moved out. My dad, because he was in the army, we moved around quite a lot.
Well, isn't it quite strange, like, being, like, because you're, like, a kid of the army, is that not quite weird? Military. Does that mean you have to, like, move... So you moved all the time?
Yeah, but not far, not big distances. Like, we moved from, like, Brixton to Clapham.
Well, not like, to different camps around the place.
Yeah, he got stationed to Germany for about 5 years. But then when he came back, we lived around South London and then we moved out to Guildford. We moved out of London when I was about
Guildford's
13.
Where the Gurkhas are.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
what do you mean the Gurkhas?
The Gurkhas, the Gurkha regiment.
Huh?
The Gurkhas.
What are the Gurkhas?
We served with them in the Beacons. Yeah. That, joking aside, that's probably who choppered you out.
Yeah. Is it really? The Gurkhas.
Some poor Gurkha.
No, the Gurkhas are a regiment in the army, a historic regiment that are made up of people from an area in Nepal.
That's right, yeah.
And they only recruit.
That's a Sherpa.
No, that's a Gurkha.
Is that a Gurkha?
And they only recruit.
Isn't that a Sherpa?
Like a shepherd?
Yeah, isn't that like a Gurkha? Isn't that a Sherpa?
No, a Sherpa is someone who shepherds sheep, are
you? I don't know.
No, Gurkha is someone, and they have that, special kind of knife.
Oh, they have like a circular
Knife.
Yeah,
and they're, you know, they're really, really tough, but they only recruit from this one particular specific place in Nepal, and it's really, really selective. And then, do you not remember there was a whole thing? What's her name? Not Patsy.
Joanna Lumley.
Yeah, Joanna Lumley did a big thing because they weren't given residency. So after they served in the regiment, they were having to get sent back.
They were choppered back.
Yeah, choppered back.
What, they were being sent back?
Yeah, and they weren't allowed to live here. So she basically fought for them to have the right to live here.
Joanna Lumley? Why Joanna Lumley? That's so random.
Because her father was in the army.
Oh, okay, fine.
Or was an officer in the Gurkhas.
My granddad was in the Gurkhas as well.
A friend of mine's now a serving officer in the Gurkhas.
Is he?
Yeah.
But I still find it. So you didn't move that far, but you moved around the place. Did you then live on like an army base camp?
They're called barracks, yeah. So I should know that. Yeah, CCF.
Yeah. So you actually lived in like barracks?
Well, I mean, that makes it sound like some sort of camp. It was basically like just a load of houses, like an estate, basically.
Everyone would live together, type
and
thing.
And everyone there was in the army. So all the wives were army wives and all the kids were army kids.
The wags.
The wags. So, but then, wait, did you go to school within like the army place?
Did you
or
go
was
to
it?
Normal schools. It's not like being... I've made it sound like some sort of cult.
That's what I feel like it is.
We went to normal schools. Yeah.
It was normal schools. Yeah, so then you went like home again and you went back to the barracks. You had to go in through like gates and there was security.
No, there was none of that. It's not like a big sort of barbed wire fence barracks type thing where you got to flash a pass.
Yeah, because I'm feeling like it's like coldest.
You could walk in it. It's like a housing estate. It's just like, it's just a normal place where like a load of soldiers live.
Because I'm picturing Tom Lucy.
Yeah.
In your room, bouncing a tennis ball against the wall, going, I'm going to get out of here one day. Yeah. Getting on a motorbike and jumping over the fence.
Open the front door. Got to get out of here.
At school, they must be like, God, let's play Risk, but Lucy will win again. Did they not think that you were just like a very good...
Weirdly, this is completely... I just talked about this in the show I just did, but we had a day at my school where all of the dads... I don't know if you had this at your school. Did you have a day where like dads had to come in and talk about their jobs? Did you ever do that?
What, like a show and tell day?
Yeah, but your dad would come in and talk to your whole class about his job. Did you ever have that?
My dad would have come in and just been like, just inherited a bit, and then got a couple of divorces.
Divorce
Yeah. That's all,
my
really.
Kids divorces.
Real role model.
Yeah. Well, we had a day like that, and my dad was in the army, so he came in, and our teacher said, can all the dads bring something in from work just to show the class, right? And so my dad, I was about maybe 8 or 9, and my dad kept saying, look, I've got something, but I'm going to keep it a surprise, but I've got something really good. It's going to be amazing. And I was like, oh, this is going to be amazing, right? My dad's in the army. This is incredible. everyone in the school is going to think I'm like fucking incredible. My dad's a soldier, right? And he came in and he did it in like full army gear, like uniform.
Yeah, really.
I've got a photo I'll show you.
Really methoding into it. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. And he stood up and it was all great. And he was chatting about the army and all the kids were loving it. And then he leant into his pocket. He went, like, boys and girls, I brought something in today that we use a lot in the army. And I'm going to briefly show you how they work, right? And he leant into his jacket and he pulled out a pistol, right? My dad brought a live pistol into a primary school.
Really?
And our teacher, the whole room just went fucking
nuts.
Our teacher like dropped her tea. Some of the kids started crying. The fire alarms went off. And my dad, a police had to come and take the gun off my dad.
Yeah, because isn't that illegal?
My dad brought a handgun into a primary school.
But can't you get like...
Not just a concealed handgun.
I also love the subtlety of it where he went... Right, kids.
Yeah,
this is something I use a lot.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm going to show you briefly. Don't get too excited. Almost like trying to cover it.
I love it. He was really trying to impress a load of like primary school
kids. All he wanted to do was like take it apart and put it back together. But when he pulled it out and people saw a gun in his jacket, it was. I mean, you can imagine what that's like in a school.
Well, like that sniper got done for that. What, did he get in trouble?
I'll show you. This won't be very good for the podcast.
No, but we can describe the picture.
Hold it up.
I find it like hilariously strange as well, like both those two mixtures of things where your dad, if in front of 4-year-olds, said, you know what, I'm going to dress up for this one, and actually came in his uniform.
Well, the photo, I'm dressed up as well in the photo. I don't know why I'm dressed as a member of the household cavalry. And I'm not sure. I can't remember if that's deliberate or if I always used to dress as a member of the household cavalry. I think it's the first one. Hang on, there's a better
one. Let's have a look at this. So, look.
Oh, that's quite a cool.
That's
pretty cool uniform. Wore that around?
No, yeah. I didn't.
Let me have a look at this.
That looks like a proper household cavalry uniform.
It is a proper one, yeah.
Really?
So
how do you had one bespoke.
I think I had to go to a wedding, an army wedding, and all the boys had to wear it, so I had one made.
So Tom's
your dad in the household cavalry?
No, but we had to go to a wedding where you had to, all the boys had to
wear one. Oh, yeah, Page boys had to wear one.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So Tom's dad is in full-on uniform.
I don't know if we can show that camera. Will it see or not?
I don't think we can show. We can post it on our Instagram. He's wearing camo gear and he's holding something up. But who took the photo? Who took the photo at the back?
The police.
is that who took the photo?
Must have been the teacher or something. Before it. Obviously, that's afterwards. There was no one in the room and there was police tape everywhere.
Wait,
the police actually came?
We had a policeman come because apparently if there's a gun on a school, a policeman has to come.
Well,
I didn't know that.
Obviously, you can't just hold a hand. Oh, I'm surprised. No. It's mental.
I'm surprised your dad didn't know. No.
Yeah, he should have known that, shouldn't he?
But surely he's not allowed to bring a pistol off.
He can't hold a handgun. It's illegal.
I don't know the exact. I'm gonna get something wrong here, but I think if you're a certain level in the army, you can.
Oh right.
No, you can't hold a handgun. There's no way you can hold.
Hold one in a school. Yeah, obviously.
I don't think you can hold a pistol on the streets.
There was that sniper who just took it home.
Police do.
There was that SAS sniper who was like really senior in the army, and he took it home and got. Two years in military
prison. Maybe we should stop talking about this.
I love the fact. I bet your dad. You were literally. I reckon you went up to him like, Dad, look, I just got show and tell tomorrow. Can you just do something really cool? And your dad went, got it. And I bet that night he couldn't sleep with excitement. He's like, I'm not going to sleep.
It's funny enough. So
it makes you feel better. It wasn't. He had no ammunition. It was an empty.
Yeah. Now trying to like save your dad. Like,
so it was completely empty. Your gun, obviously.
So I trained. So where I live down in Wiltshire is in between two army bases and I train jiu-jitsu down there, and so a lot of the army guys come and train jiu-jitsu at this
place. Jiu-jitsu?
You train, or no, you don't teach it.
No, I train Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And one
it's
of the
quite a coy way of saying it. It's like, are you a trainer or do you like exercise?
No, I practice jiu-jitsu.
Oh, okay.
But this one guy was telling me actually last night that there was a guy who was like moving a load of ammunition back from like the field to put it, to put away in the stores, in the ammunition stores. And it was locked. It was the weekend. It was locked. And so he's like, oh, well, I'll just put it in this shed here right next to it. And put it, there was like a video of him loading it all into this shed and like locking it. It was locked, but it wasn't an armory.
Yeah.
And he got 2 years in a military prison, got like his rank taken away from him.
Because of that mistake.
And he was saying, and so the guy who I trained.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. And so the guy who I trained jiu-jitsu. The guy who I trained with, he was a screw in one of the military prisons. And he says that basically all they do for, like, if they're there for 2 years, three years, all they do every day
masturbate.
Is PT. No, like, so like they get drilled, like that bit in Full Metal Jacket at the beginning.
No.
Every day, all day. It's just regimented, endless. Like endless,
you got
and apparently the ones who make it through after they come out are way better soldiers and like, and actually,
military prison.
Yeah, military prison.
Right.
But I think that our prison system could learn a thing or two from the military prisons.
So hypothetically speaking, if I was in the army and I took a gun to school to do a show and tell, would I be put in prison for 2 years? Probably.
Well, I mean, as far as I'm aware, more than two years. I think
all he did was put some bullets in a shed.
Yeah, exactly.
A gun to school.
Yeah, this was actually
16 years.
This was actually at the base.
I should say my dad's still in prison. Yeah. This happened, I don't know, 15 years ago.
I would still love it if your dad came in and went, everyone get on the ground, joking, but you, and started shooting in the air.
But imagine if the military took over our prisons, that people would think twice about throwing acid on someone's face if they thought, oh God,
is that what they do in prisons?
No, to go to prison.
Here, yeah.
Yeah, if they had a life sentence doing like actual drill, like PT.
I had an idea once about prisons, about, you know, those.
Military should take
you know, when you were playing coldest. Yeah. I could make the best prison.
you know, like a cycling machine.
Yeah.
Why don't we just fill prisons with cycling machines
for like solar
and get people to cycle?
Well,
it generates power.
Yeah.
Electricity
for all day.
Well, no, they're doing shit. You do, I don't know, 16-17 hours.
You know that ties in quite well with the military taking them over and just basically drilling. Let's start our own prison.
We'll see why you were Lance Corporal. Fucking hell. He's got some ideas.
We'll
eradicate. We'll talk later about this.
Can we also just have this, that Tom, you just literally went, don't worry, we'll put it in shifts, like 17 hours each. 17 hours of cycling. It's like boom and back in like medieval time where they had to row the ship.
But do you know I've had the same idea before. And rowing machines as well.
Yeah, that's maybe a bit more hardcore, isn't it? Yeah. Rowing machines.
Yeah. Did you more energy though? More energy. Wait, so you went to army school, but then what? You
imagine making them row 17
hours.
Yeah.
17 hours of rowing.
Yeah, we should, because every single ripped, prison would be a huge like power plant, basically.
Exactly. Yeah.
But then
energy crisis solved.
And a lot of those will probably go on to be in Team GB.
Exactly. So. It's like a training ground.
It's really good, actually.
Well, we get criminals in Team
Steve
GB.
Steve Redgrave could run them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Honestly, when I watched that, I still do you ever do that? Do you ever go onto YouTube and like watch like emotional clips?
Mm.
Do you ever do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. Do
a lot,
that?
Yeah. Before I go to sleep every night.
Yeah. What, to help the crying?
Yeah. It just starts the crying and then
just think about your dad in prison and then you start watching.
Like my dad from behind the bars.
But he must be fit now after all of that training.
After 17 hours of cycling, yeah.
But leg day,
every day.
Oh, God. I sit on YouTube and I occasionally watch like sporting events that like make
me...
Yeah, they get me emotional. And one of them is when Steve... when Steve Redgrave...
Oh, when he won the Olympic gold.
Oh, man.
Yeah, with
the other one is
insane. Yeah, it was...
Johnny Wilkinson drop kicks.
Oh, yeah.
My dad, I've only...
30 seconds to go! This is the one!
It's like a film, isn't it?
It's amazing! Yeah.
I've only ever seen my dad cry once, and it was when Venus Williams won Wimbledon. It's the only time my dad has cried. I remember this guy said something at school, which we laughed at so much, he got so angry, he started crying. I don't know why we're talking about death, right? For some reason.
I think that's probably
the gun.
It's either at school, I always seem to know, it's either...
Girls or death.
How you'd kill someone.
Yeah.
Or have you started wanking yet?
That was hot topic. Yeah.
We said to this guy, we were like 11, we were talking about how you'd want to die, like if you could choose how you'd want to die.
Yeah.
And he said, I want to die in my mother's arms. 11 years old in my mother's arms.
Oh, God, that's a bleak outlook, isn't it?
It's weirdly quite sweet.
Yeah, my mother's what? And you're 18, she's what? 120.
No, it should be the other round. Or
are
other
you
way
both
around.
Dying at the same time? What's happening?
I still remember.
In my mother's arms.
I remember when. I remember. I'll tell you actually two things, which is so true. I remember that when I was playing rugby, we would do these like drills, right? And one of the lineouts, like, so they were practicing a lineout, one of the teams, and the lineout was thrown in, and the guy caught at the back, and I was in the back, so I was playing fullback, which is right at number 15, and I caught the ball, yeah. And we crashed into each other like that so hard without looking at each other, and I got so winded on the going, you know, when you can't breathe, and all I was going was, mommy. And as I came back to it, everyone's looking at me going, what did you say? I was like, nothing.
Mummy.
Was your mum watching?
No, she wasn't. But for some reason, I went straight to that. Mummy! In my winded state. I'm not even kidding you.
That's amazing. That was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, what about, so wait, great, growing up, did you ever have like any like horrific like things that happened to you? Because we talk about death.
Oh, God, what a question.
It's a light-hearted podcast. Anything horrific happened to you?
Let's dig a little deeper, Tom.
I've got a really funny story about that.
No, but did anything happen to you that was like...
What a segue.
That was scarring.
That was traumatising. Do you ever have moments, you know, like, we were talking about this earlier.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah. We always have, like...
When you remember them and you like...
And it gets back to you. For example, I remember when I was canoeing once down rapids, and I remember the canoe being like rolled over and me being stuck underneath it. And I remember that you said... And the guy...
You did a lot of canoeing when you were
canoeing.
All of your stories involve canoeing. So I was canoeing once.
I was rowing and canoeing, that's what we talked about. How do you get into canoeing?
Broke three and a half ribs. But also, canoeing.
But shattered ribs.
Shattered my ribs canoeing.
But I swear to God, there was a guy called something, I think his name was like something Pretty. Anyway, he was called Mr. Pretty. Mr. Pretty was...
Pretty. Sounds kind of like Tom Lucy.
Tom Lucy and Mr. Pretty.
Mr. Pretty was the one in front of me. So it was a two-man canoe. And Mr. Pretty must have been like 40 odd years old, so he protected me. Yeah, he must have been. And
what
I was like,
you?
I must have been like 11, 12. And we're in the south of France at a friend's holiday.
That's not even
we were
the
fucking
start of it.
It's Pretty, we're having sex.
It's Pretty. That name's a lot more sinister now.
Who was it that used to give you beer and take you swimming naked?
Yeah, that's another story. I'll tell you that as a story. But that's another story.
Your producer's doing this.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, about a guy giving me beer and taking me on naked swims. No, Mr. Pretty was in the canoe and he was in the front of me and I was behind him and we were canoeing down and somehow the whole thing tipped over and I was underneath trying to get back out.
Mommy.
Yeah,
Mommy.
Magic! And I managed to get myself out from underneath the canoe and back onto it. And all I saw was Mr. Pretty at the front of it, straddling it with both his arms, holding my sides, going, gosh, going, God, I knew this would happen. Not even bothering that I nearly drowned. Just going, God, why aren't they waiting for us? I knew this would happen.
Where were you?
In the south of France. I think it was like not Normandy. That's
You went on a... Yeah.
Normandy. it's Toulouse. Toulouse.
Normandy.
It's when it was the Normandy beaches.
Isn't it Normandy?
It was Normandy, the beaches.
Film festival. It's a very different weekend.
But do you ever have anything done to you? You must have had something that you could...
Done to me?
Has anything ever been done to you?
No.
Have you ever had like a moment where you go like, oh, that was quite scary?
A lot. I mean...
What about you, Tonka?
Yeah. It's doing stand-up. When you first start, you have loads of gigs for it, which are like so kind of like...
Traumatic.
Body-shakingly cringe, like horrific.
And so what is your worst one that you ever had?
Oh, God. There's been loads.
That's good for your career.
I'll be on tour in February.
Oh, which one? Oh, God, there's been loads of them.
That sometimes when you do radio interviews and they go, so what's the worst gig you've ever done? You go, can we not talk? I'm here to promote her. Can we talk about the best gig?
But it is true. Because
yeah, you have loads of bad gigs.
Have you ever had, because I remember when we, obviously, Francis and I, you've just been up in Edinburgh as well.
Yeah.
And you've been doing your show.
What do you think of our show?
I loved it.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah. I loved the posters.
Yeah, you saw the posters.
Yeah.
But we just did a show, and I remember there was this one night, we've spoken this before, we had our night where basically it was our very first night. We were on the stage, and I'm completely naked at the beginning, and I'm there.
His choice.
I'm naked in front of the whole crowd, and Francis's mic suddenly goes and blows up straight away there. Like
Blows up, but like it stops working.
You mean you turn it off?
Yeah.
Stops working. And so I was standing naked, so this all happened. Then Francis is like sitting on the couch or like the sofa, and I'm next to him, and I say to him, we have to find like a segue into our next thing, right? And for some reason, the segue just went out of our mind. So Francis forgot his line, I forgot my line, and then both of us just forgot the whole show. So I was like, oh my God, what do we do here? And like everything went, I didn't even know what we were doing.
Oh, you were just naked?
No, this was after I'd been naked. So this was like, because of the whole like mic thing threw us.
Oh, okay.
And so I was thinking, what the hell do I do? I don't know what to do. And I remember thinking in my head, this is the moment that comedians talk of. This is the moment where when suddenly you start to bomb and you can't do anything.
It was quite a priceless look on Jamie's face at that point.
How big was your crowd?
420.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah. And also,
now you know what that feels like.
I said this before to Alex.
Just so much pressure. Like, and you know, they're all waiting
The more it goes on, the more you think about it, and the worse it gets.
Yeah. Oh, mate. But also, the worst thing was, is that in my head, I was thinking, what the fuck do I do? What the fuck do I do?
Yeah.
So in my head, I was like, I've got to do something. So I went, oh, the only thing I can possibly do is pretend that I'm going to go and look at the script. That's why I thought in my head that I would go and pretend to look at our script.
Yeah.
So I went behind the sofa to pretend to look at our script. There was no script there. So when I got behind the sofa and I was pretending to look, I thought, what the fuck do I do now?
You're just
kneeling behind the sofa, looking at air. So it made me panic even more.
Oh,
it
was, man.
But dude, so what was your moment that you've had? Do you remember a specific moment where you were literally like...
I've had like technical issues before. That's bad.
That was our technical issue.
It's horrible,
not,
isn't it? Because
like,
it ruins your flow.
It's not your fault. So I supported Jack Whitehall on tour last year. And we had a night in Bristol where... I don't know how big the theatre was, but it was like 3,000. It was like a big theatre.
It's quite
huge.
That's quite a big thing to support. That size
huge.
Crowd.
How many tears is that? What was the biggest tears?
Three tears. Yeah.
What was the biggest thing you'd done before that?
When I did that tour, it was comfortably the biggest thing I'd ever done.
Really?
I was like 20 years old. Yeah.
But also,
what happened?
No, but before I cut you off, you're 20 before years
I
old.
You. Before I cut you off.
Before, sorry, as I cut you off. Before I cut you off. But you're 20 years old.
When we did that,
You're touring around the country with, you know, arguably one of the biggest comedians.
Yeah, definitely then.
But you know, he's, I think, you know, Jackie, he's selling out all these dreams, and you're 20 doing to 3,000 people.
Well, the biggest one we did was like 18,000.
Was that O2? Do you do
it? He did the O2. I didn't do the O2.
What's it like actually winning a room of that size?
It's just really weird. Like the biggest one I did was Leeds Arena, which was 18, I think, 1,000. It's like the same as the O2.
Wow.
And quickly before we go into that, what was the moment? So you've had like Mike, so you're touring with Jack, you're 20 years old and you've got 3,000 people. Did something happen?
Oh, Bristol. So we're in Bristol, Colston Hall in Bristol.
Where you went to university. Brissa!
Yeah, exactly.
Bunker so Mondays!
Exactly. So loads of my sort of uni mates were there, which made it worse. So I walk out and I walk on with a handheld mic. There's not one there. I walk out with it. And I go to talk and it's just not working. It's just not on, right? So there's 3,000 people there and it's not on.
And you're just going, and people at the back end, and then you hear, can't hear you!
Yeah, going, so I'm going, good evening, and then I instantly realise it's not on. So I then go, okay. Normally when this happens, really quickly someone will put it, like, it'll only go off for like 5 seconds and then it'll come back.
And then it goes back on, yeah.
So I was like, oh, it'll come back on in a minute. And I was sort of tapping it and nothing for like a while, and I just completely didn't know what to do. And no one was sort of shouting or laughing, everyone was just like that, just watching in silence. Because when you're sort of the support act, you get a lot of hostility anyway.
Yeah, sure,
because they're not like, there to see you, so they don't really care anyway.
So and everyone's listening, they're like, so what did you say?
Well, thank God for Jack, bless him. He was in the wings, because he always used to stand in the wings, and he ran on, because he saw a man in need.
Because he saw a 20-year-old boy freak out and realise he'd gone blank.
My Lance Corporal ran on. And he basically like turned it into this big kind of like Chuckle Brothers-esque skit about the fact that we couldn't find a mic that worked. To the extent, and it went so well, that the audience thought it was part of the show.
No,
that I walked really? On and the mic didn't work, and then Jack came on and he was like, hey, has anyone got a mic? And then he came on, he managed to find a stepladder in the wings and he came on with that. And he like did it, put it, went up on the stage trying to get one out the seat. It was like all this like,
oh, so it's
incredible.
Quite funny.
Yeah,
so
he was really good. But if I'd been on my own, I don't know what I would have done.
Because it happens where suddenly you suddenly blank, right? You just don't know what to do. And that is, on as an entertainer, as like a music, whatever you want to call, that moment where suddenly you go blank is one of the scariest moments because you're suddenly, it's your livelihood, it's your art, it's your job.
Yeah.
Suddenly go disappearing from you.
It's
like,
really terrifying. I heard a story about this guy, I can't remember who it was, but he was doing a TV show, doing stand-up on a TV show, and they had a band. It was a chat show, so they had like a house band. So they were like, all right, we'll introduce you. You come out, the band will play. When you get to the mic, the band will stop. You do your 5 minutes and the band will play and you walk off. So they said, look, so we know what, when the band should start again, what's your last joke? So tell us your last joke. And when you finish that, the band will start and you walk off, right? So he goes, oh, I finish on this joke about, well, I don't know, supermarket. So when I do the supermarket joke, I'm done. Then you can start the band. So he goes out, the band's playing, it's all great. He gets to the mic, his first joke gets nothing, like absolutely nothing, he dies. So in his head, he's panicking and he goes, oh fuck, well, the supermarket joke always gets a good laugh. I'll do that now. Even though I was going to do it at the end, I'll do it now because it always gets a good laugh. So he then did the supermarket joke and then the band started playing. And so he did like 25 seconds of stand-up and he had to leave because the band was playing.
Oh incredible. My God. And on that note, Francis, we need to have question of the week.
You're going to like this one. This
okay,
week.
Go. Tell me.
All right. It's actually fascinating.
Oh, he's folded his arms.
Is your question of
why
the week?
Is he folded his arms? In
because
that
the
way?
Mic is right there and I have to get.
You're folding your arms in like an angle.
I'm trying to look
musical
at both
theater.
Of you.
Yeah, like that.
Okay. what season do children grow the fastest in?
Okay, I think I have an answer to this. Tom, you're the guest. You go first.
You have an answer for this?
I think I have a relatively sensible answer.
Really?
Yeah, I think I do.
It's unlike you.
Yeah, here we go. I'm ready for it.
I don't know why, but I would guess summer.
Summer.
But I don't know why.
Summer?
So I would go completely opposite to that.
Winter.
Yeah, I think winter because when you sleep, you actually grow. So you're going to sleep more in winter than you do
that's
in summer.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Do you think people sleep more in winter?
Yeah, they sleep more in winter,
do
for
they?
Sure. Yeah, it's summertime, you're out later.
Yeah, you're talking about hibernating.
Yeah. No, not hibernate. Children
do
don't hibernate.
Well, so
you also
you seem
eat
to
more
think
in
so.
The winter as well.
You eat more in the winter, yeah. You
yeah.
Eat,
oh, yeah, because of all the abundance of food in there.
Well, there's like comfort food, shepherd's pies.
But I don't know if that's evolutionary.
Shepherd's pie.
I don't know if evolutionarily we would have eaten more in the winter.
Well, hey, that's why. So you're going to tell us in part two?
I will tell you in part two.
Do we not get to find out?
No, look, we get it. Look, how excited to find out.
Do you want to know?
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll listen on. Well, you don't need to listen, you'll be here. But
well, Tom, Lucy, do you want to stick around for part two?
Yeah.
You do? Are you having fun?
Yeah, it's great.
Okay, we'll stick around.
Best thing I've ever done.
Stick around for part two.
Even what about that Bristol gig?
Better than that.
Stick around for part two, ladies and gentlemen, because we have Francis Dyer, we have Answer Question Week, and we still have Tom, Lucy. See you in part two. Bye bye.
The softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.